皆さんおはようございます。全米平和賞会議2日目、今日は2007年2月4日ワシントン DC からお届けしています。今は資金集めのセッションが始まっています。もう途中でなんですけども、これから高校生の女の子がどうやって彼女が成功したかという話をします。そこのセッションに合流したいと思っています。その後はリン・マックミランさん、資金集めのプロです。お金集め、どこでも大変なことなんですけど、ここではどうやってるでしょうか。
And in the homes on Abbott Street, we have resolved to bring peace. I'm honored to be with you today to tell you that you are not alone on this noble journey. No, what you have begun by lighting a torch of hope has been passed on to the youngest generations of Americans. The generation whose lives have been opened by violence not only internationally,but in our own communities. Ultimately, the young people are the ones who are impacted the most by violence. We feel it in our schools, we feel it in our homes, we feel it in our communities. You've heard in the last few days statistics about child abuse, domestic violence, and it's so real to the young people involved in this campaign because we see it and we feel it. A few weeks ago, a fellow peace activist and friend of mine was speaking with her young daughter, who just received one of those magic 8-balls, the little plastic black fortune teller. And the young girl shook it with vigor for the first time. And she looked down, and her face dropped to despair. My friend went up and said, "Sweet, why are you so sad? You just got this new toy." And the girl looked up at her mom and said, "Mommy, I asked if a Department of Peace would be created today. And it said, don't count on it." So my friend, with all of her wisdom, went up to her daughter and, trying to hold back her laughs and also comfort her, told her that sometimes something so important takes time to manifest itself. The young girl thought about it. She picked up her ball again, shook it once more, and this time asked if a Department of Peace would be created in a week. Now, I only have about 10 years of age on this girl, being just 17, and I sometimes realize that I too wish a little black ball could tell the future for such a monumental bill. And I wish I could just shake it and ask what would happen right now, and that it would. But I also realize that for something so important, we must not only change our government, but the minds of Americans as well. This message of peace has met the most important ears. No, not just our senators and congressmen, but the ears of children, the ears of students, those who are going to inherit the earth that our current politicians are creating. As Gandhi once said, if we are to have real peace in this world, we shall have to begin with the children. And this is something the Department of Peace campaigns nationwide are realizing and embracing. For the older youth, this means becoming a part of the Student Peace Alliance and sharing the knowledge of the Department of Peace with students in colleges all over America. Not only are students working as some of the most integral forces in the campaign, by writing letters to the editor, meeting with our congressmen, and holding calling days. But they are creating cultures of peace in their communities as well. At Brandeis, students set the goal of visiting local high schools to share the message of peace and nonviolence. In Pennsylvania, a young woman had the dream of uniting her community and the different cultures there by holding an interfaith prayer service day for peace. All over the country, young people attended Red Hot Chili Peppers concerts. They were able to enjoy the music, but they were able to enjoy spreading the gift of peace and the knowledge of this movement with all of the Red Hot Chili Peppers fans. We are sharing this message because we realize that this bill is the most important piece of legislation in the 109th Congress. Yes, these students have taken the torch that you have created, and they are ready to carry it on into the future. Yeah. Number students have also become involved in the campaign. This year marked the creation of the first ever high school chapter of the Department of Peace, Student Peace Alliance. They wanted a piece of this action and starting up chapters. And after this conference, we have so much more interest too that I'm sure the student movement in high schools is going to grow rapidly. The high school student movement started in California, and they decided to start the school year with a bang, holding the Gandhi screenings, letters to the editor, letters to their congressman, over 300 letters signed at lunchtime in the school campus. In addition to this, 40 students from Carlsbad High School attended the Walk for Peace and made that a possibility in San Diego. Indeed, the peaceful teens of today's high schools are preparing nationwide to become the college campus leaders of tomorrow. Youth and younger kids have become involved with the campaign to create a Department of Peace. In California, Department of Peace activist Jill McManigle has created a group called Kids for Peace, where young children, ages 3 to 10, are able to meet with their congressman to discuss this bill.
Wow.
And not only do they create peace in this political way, but they are learning how to communicate nonviolence, how to live peace within their lives, like we all have discussed this morning, in a spiritual way. And in addition to this, they are sending peaceful relations across the world by sharing service with the international community. My friends, the future is bright. Through the campaign to establish a Department of Peace, we have created a new kind of an army. Not one armed with weapons of hate, but one armed with goodwill and hope. These youth are persistent, present, and ready and willing to carry on this campaign for the next 50 years, if need be. Levels. By beginning involvement so young, I have been touched to hear youth say that they are going to contribute their entire lives to working for peace. I've heard adults in their last years say that that's their goal, but these are children at 10, 15, 20 years old saying that they're going to contribute their entire lives to peace. Imagine that, something that many adults never reach. That state of consciousness. These youth are powerful and determined, and they will be the leaders of tomorrow. For your part in contributing and inspiring the campaign's youth, I commend you for being the 21st century heroes of today, ensuring light in a future that might otherwise have been dark. As I step off this stage this afternoon, I encourage you to smile as best as you know how, sparing every bit of teeth and gum you have. But I assure you, peace will happen in this great nation and peace will happen in this world. As my good friend Nete back in California once said, with all of the amazing people she has met in this campaign, she knows that peace is not only possible, it is inevitable. Yes, my friends, today, and for always, peace is inevitable. Thank you.
ライバルはですね、18歳の高校生のスピーチでした。スタンディングオベーションです。全員が総立ちで拍手をしています。2004年、ワシントン DC からお届けしています。どうでしょうか。
Because everywhere I go, both in this country and around the world, I feel good about the common decency of the vast majority of people on this planet. The issue, certainly in this country, is that although, as our founders envisioned it, certainly Jefferson with that famous quote about how the government must keep pace with the times, our founders did everything that they could to create a governmental structure where through representative government, we can take the best of ourselves, the better angels of our nature, and channel that into the functioning of the government through our representatives. And what has happened in the United States at various times, but particularly seems to be true today, is that although if you travel this country, you see the requisite genius, you see the requisite goodwill, you see the requisite ingenuity, you see the requisite forward thinking, you see the requisite compassion, but as Martin Luther King said, the American people are more compassionate than the U.S. Congress. And so while I don't see a problem with the American people, particularly now since 9/11, I feel this sobriety that we've talked about, this new sort of emotional social sobriety. I heard presidential candidate Joseph Biden say the other day, he said that I've never seen the elected so sober. I don't see a problem with the people. I see a problem too often with the government. We talked about over the weekend the fact that our founders deliberately placed the government away from us in Washington, D.C., so that it wouldn't be in our face. But we talked about how if you were living in London, you go to a dinner party, the great writers of England, the great thinkers of England, the great scientists of England are the same dinner party with the parliamentarians. If you go to France, once again, the political capital and the social capital, the artistic capital, it's the same city. So too often, people in Washington have their own closed culture and are not as much as we would like to think they might be exposed to some of the most cutting-edge ideas going on in the country. They have to go back to their districts, but even then that's understandable between their families and the politicking that they have to do. So this idea of Washington, D.C. is the kind of, it's the town meeting place of the United States. And so, and it's part of, like I said, it's characterologically powerful that Americans don't want to be involved with politics all the time. But if you look, as I said, if you look at the history of the United States, every 40 years or so, Americans kind of look up and look to Washington and go, what are you people doing? We sort of try to get the train back on track. This is one of those moments in American history. So the idea of the peace alliance, because this whole issue of money, as we know, there are six very highly paid corporate lobbyists for every member of Congress. And they hear as common cause, I remember I read it in some common cause literature once, they said, these are representatives here from, just a little bit, that there are congressional representatives here from corporate lobbyists every day. It's not enough for them to hear from you every 2 years. And that's what we do. We express sometimes through the voting booth how we feel, but if they're only hearing from you every 2 years, but they're hearing from corporate lobbyists every day. So as we know, the financial interests of some of these other sectors of society are poured into particular interests and then are used to influence our congressional representatives. And while in the long run, peace certainly represents an economic interest. As we said, I don't care how successful you are, a nuclear bomb will ruin your day. I don't care how successful your business is, if there's a shooting at your child's school, you care. So there's a tremendous economic as well as humanitarian interest to peace, but there is no particular corporate or other professional structure. I'm sorry? Okay, I'm sorry. That is funding peace. So that is why I felt very strongly about our having an office in Washington. Because this will really increase our capacity to not only awaken all of the people, all 50 states that we have, who are working so hard at the Department of Peace campaign, but actually bring it home to Washington in a whole new way by our having an office here. So I take responsibility for the fact that I know you're talking about families, but maybe you're coming out, sorry. I take responsibility for the fact that I am the one who said, we've got to have an office in Washington, we've got to have an office in Washington. So I take responsibility for the fact that does mean we need more money, but I wanted you to know why I did that, and I hope you agree, and I think it will really help you work. So thank you. Thank you. Some of the other things that the money will be for is I want to thank John and Christine. John, could you just stand up for a second? John and Christine actually gave money through their marriage. They got married and all their wedding gifts were money to the Department of Peace campaign. Me on the phone, you know, John and I talked it over, we really want to do this, but we want to be able to tell our friends what exactly will this pay for. And so we created a little fund for traveling to states without representation yet,
with that fund, and as a result, keep standing. I'd like the delegation from Kentucky, the home of Mitch McConnell, one of the third most powerful Republican senators in the nation. They're the representatives of two groups in Kentucky that came out of tax money from this, and the other half will be the next trip. But a travel budget, we need a travel budget, is the point, also the point. So when you look at this, and so, you know, I'd like to have Aaron and Julia stand up for a moment. You know, it's like bringing the students, Aaron in the room, he's in the back, back there looking so handsome in his suit. You know, it's like bringing the Student Peace Alliance and a travel budget for Aaron to represent us at peace and student gatherings all over the country. That's what we need.
Can we interview Marianne?
For, I want Dot to go everywhere she's invited. You know, there's never
been a dinner party here.
All over the world.
And she,
you know, has to pay herself while we'll travel. And so we need a travel budget for Dot and for myself so we can take the message of hope to the people. Can we remind them and remember with them that this is their country, that this is their government? Yeah. Park Phoenix.
This is for
Andy. Too short. You want the mic? You have to come up here.
I really want to get there.
Hang on. What am I called?
I'm a Park Phoenix.
I just walk around and collect my hand.
Collect my hand. In 1999, I went to the
commitment. You know what you say, put the money where your mouth is. Money is an expression of commitment. And a lot of people believe until you put your money behind it, it's all hot air. So when you have these events, and you explain the Peace Alliance, and you tell about the local activities, and then you make an ask, then we're going to have little videos, or you can play it, me making an ask, or you can make an ask yourself. But what we really want you to be able to do is see that allowing people to give money to the Peace Alliance is a gift to them. I can't tell you how many people write thank you on the checks. And the biggest difference between people who do fundraising a lot, you know how if you're a car salesman, my dad used to be a car salesman when he was very young. He said during that period, all he did was see cars, especially new cars. And then when you're buying a house, you always see houses. But when you're a fundraiser, you know what you always see? No, you probably don't from laughing. You see human generosity everywhere you go because the work of fundraising is about cultivating and celebrating human generosity. So when you do these events, you're not trying to get something from someone. You're giving an opportunity to them, an opportunity for them to get hope from this campaign, and an opportunity for them to commit to the campaign with their money, and a chance for them to get involved in the campaign. Yes? So what we'd like to do, this is kind of fun, we've never done this before. Judy and I had this vision that we would talk about the events, and we would ask you to stand up.
What we're creating is a fundraising task force for the Peace Alliance. So one way we can do that is, first of all, I wanted you to know that there was going to be we have been doing this, but it's going to be more regularly now. I will be leading a monthly fundraising conference call, national conference call. So if any of you want to be on that, I'd love to have you join me. We'll have fun. And we'll brainstorm, and I'll try to do everything I can to support you in whatever you want to manifest, whether it's just in your region and raising money in your region. Of course, we're also, I'd like to focus on the national campaign and bringing money in for our office and all the wonderful things that we're doing here. So if you are interested in being on the task force, would you just sometime in the next 2 days let me know and I'll take your name and then we'll have a conference call. But beyond that, I want to support you in coaching you and helping you in any way I can to have your events. And I want you to know that in this past year, we've had tremendous creativity in the regions. We've had film benefits. As we all know, we had the Gandhi. We also had one for piece of pie. We've had walk-a-thons. We've had all sorts of events that have raised money for our national campaign. So you can be as creative as you want. There's an upcoming, we're going to have a silent auction in Atlanta, the Atlanta Group, where they're organizing a great silent auction. So there are lots of ideas that where we can do table captain events, but anyway, let me know if you want to participate. I'd love to.
Yeah. So we're going to actually ask you, if you're committed in your city to causing a fundraising event for the national campaign, would you just stand up? We're going to take call out names,
and we're going to make a list of all those cities. We can really celebrate that we're going to be doing this all over the country. Okay? So if you're going to put on a fundraising event in your city.
Woo! Thank you.
Woo, woo, woo. Let's call out names. We have somebody set up to take those names.
Wendy, can you scribe?
Wendy, can you write this down? Thank you.
You
said yes. We're going to give her a chance to get a pen. This is the part I didn't think of.
Yeah.
I have this, you know, don't.
Over the world, and we lived together beautifully. I mean, the children in the classroom loved one another because I told them they were a family of the planet. We share a planet together, so we are blind to the differences and distinctions that divide us. So the future is in the children to grow a more peaceful society. And so one thing is to interject, because most history teachers do not know about that article number 9. Now, I may not approve of their curriculum, but you could introduce that article into their curriculum so they can share it with the children, you see, and begin to share it. And so there are things that can be done. So, all right, what do you need?
今ここで喋っているのはアンドラさんです。アンドラさんは元先生で、外国の子どもたちに英語を教えていた経験があります。で、彼女にですね、憲法9条の話をしてしました。で、この憲法が今アメリカの圧力によって変えられようとしている。そしてこの憲法がですね、もう日本からなくなる可能性があるという話をしました。そしてでも私の夢はこの憲法をキープすることだけではなく、世界中のすべての国に憲法9条を持ってほしいんですと言ったらば、そのビジョンは素晴らしい、やりましょうと言ってくれたんですね。
Said in English. I'm a translator, so I was. This is a radio program, by the way. Can you meet you at MIT?
No. Water, please.
So,
arigato gozaimashita.
Do itashimashite. So anyway, so this is a podcast. I'm broadcasting every day from here, recording back to Japan. What's happening?
これは今日ワシントン D.C. 2月4日です。全米平和賞会議2日目のランチブレイク。今日はアンドラさんをインタビューしています。Thank you.